Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dexcelsior, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game, which is a card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I am your host. I'm Sam, and today I'm joined by a tiny crew. We got Carlos.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I just got my Rise of Red Skull this last weekend, and then I finally picked up the Arkham Starter Decks. So I have been very busy. And we also have Ben. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah. Played through Red Skull a couple times. Well, kind of a couple times. I played once solo, then a little bit multiplayer.
And we also have Matt. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Good. Cool. Anyway, I have a question for all of you. Spoiler-free, how are you enjoying the campaign so far? Ben, since you mentioned it.
I enjoy it more than I thought I would, but I think I would probably enjoy it better just playing the scenario standalone. So, yeah. I do really like the new villains, though. There are a lot of cool things going on.
And Carlos, how are you enjoying the campaign so far?
I played four scenarios. Still got Red Skull to finish it off. I really like it. I like how simple it is and short. I think it kind of like it allows for some very easy play. Like it's not a very big dive to get into the campaign. I do hope that other campaigns are more deep, but I'm very happy that this one isn't. I think it's a great first campaign. I'm also very happy we got new scenarios. There are a couple scenarios that I don't see myself playing outside of the campaign, but I think are great additions to how the campaign works. So when we do a more spoilerish discussion of the campaign, I'll get deeper into that.
Yeah, and to be honest, there's not much to spoil about the campaign, but I agree. I do like the simplicity of it. It's definitely way easier to sit down and play a campaign of this than it is of Arkham, just because of the time investment that game takes and the commitment. But Matt, how are you enjoying it?
I haven't really played Red Skull too much. I've been busy with a few other things, Luigi's Mansion, one of them. But I've been started a crossover campaign with Kenny Hawk and the others, and we just went through Crossbones last night.
Nice. How's the Luigi Hero Pack expansion for you?
A lot of fun. Very illuminating.
Oh my god. Yeah, I just finished my first campaign today, and I played it on standard because I just wanted to experience the pre-con, the Spider-Woman one. And it was fun. We'll talk more about it when we get to the scenarios, but I loved all the additions. I think every scenario was a lot of fun for me, at least. But what are we going to be doing tonight? Tonight we're going to be doing the Wasp Hot Takes. An article dropped today called The Unstoppable Wasp on Fantasy Flight's website, so we're going to be talking about that. But first, we have a Marvel musing from Matt. What's your musing tonight?
So today's Marvel musings of Matt is going to be about Wasp naturally, and it's going to be about Nadia Van Dyne, our hero. So she's a really new character, so most people probably don't know about her or even where she came from or why there's Nadia Van Dyne. Basically, in the comics, before Hank Pym gave the Wasp her powers, he was married. And his wife, Maria Pym, was kidnapped and killed by the Russians. Because this was back in the Cold War. But what he didn't know was she was pregnant at the time. And they kept the child and raised her in the Red Room where they raised Black Widow. So she was raised to be an assassin. And then they realized she's super smart like her dad as well. Like her mom as well, who was also a scientist. And then she got into Pym Particles. And, she got her Pym Particles and found out about her father, who was a hero and wanted to be a superhero too. So naturally, she escaped using the Pym Particles. And then she went to America, where she help the hero stop a malfunctioning Vision who was kind of, I guess, unstuck in time. And basically, they were attacked by an unknown enemy, and Vision started attacking, and those attacks ended up being the attacks that were attacking them. So she went and saved them, and then Jarvis helped, decided to take her in, and took her to Janet, who eventually adopted her. And in homage to that, Nadia took her last name instead of Pym. And that's Nadia Van Dyne.
So, okay, because I only know the MCU. Is Nadia Van Dyne the same person as Hope Van Dyne?
Essentially, yes, in that she is Hank's daughter. In fact, Nadia is a Russian... it's basically Russian version for Hope.
Okay, so... Because I only know the MCU. Are her and Scott like a thing, or is that just the movies? No, okay.
No, Scott is. That's what she's the same age as his daughter.
Oh, That's crazy. Did not know that. Okay, so the movies
They've met once where they both shrunk into the microverse, and while Scott was lost in space with the Guardians.
Okay.
But yeah, I think her most interesting thing is she spends a lot more of using her brain to try to fix things, and she also uses her assassin training with some shrink foo. She really knows how to utilize the shrinking and growing to.
Well, that's
use her martial arts.
Because of the cards, we're going to see that there's a kind of switch on how being small works in Nadia versus in Ant-Man.
Yeah, once we get through the cards, there's definitely a difference between how they play small or tiny versus giant.
If you want to read more about Nadia, read the Unstoppable Wasp series. There's two of them, and they're both really good. And she's quite honestly one of my favorite heroes, and it handles mental health really well.
Oh, cool.
Hank Pym is kind of very touching comics, but it handles every aspect of him very well.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you, Matt, for that Marvel musing. And now on to the hot takes. So we do have 6 new cards, and we'll get to them in a second. But first, we want to just run down our thoughts on the article. I have yet to read it, so while you guys are talking, I'm going to read it. I'm so prepared.
Who reads the article? We read the cards.
I read the cards, not the article.
I never read the article. Nobody reads the article.
I've read the article, but that was like...
Because sometimes they give a little, like, I don't know, hints in the article. That mat looks cool. Oh my god, I'm seeing this for the first time.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing in the article is a hint of the new leadership card, our first leadership attack event.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks very interesting.
It fits what I'm thinking. From what little I can read, it's bonkers.
Oh yeah.
I'm not sure if it's sweet art.
Okay, well... Yes. I guess if none of us really read through the article that much, we're just going to get right to the cards.
It really emphasizes how the difference... Like, Scott, his value comes from you swap between his modes because you really want to use his when you change to those form abilities. Wasp, using her forms is a bit more, I guess, tactical in that they, instead of just swapping, it's more about use this for this and use Tiny for other stuff. And you got it's the hammer or the scalpel.
So,
and she's the hammer and the scalpel.
Do you think... Based on that, rundown of reminder of Wasp as a hero card, and this same goes for Ant-Man. It's a 3-sided card, so a foldable card, with the alter ego on one side, the tiny form of the hero on the other side, and it folds open for giant hero form. Mm-hmm. Do you think that she'll want to flip between the forms every turn like Ant-Man, or do you think she'll be more... and choose when you flip?
No, I think the biggest reason for that is her tiny form has a hand size of 5 while Scott only has 4. And abilities don't trigger off of changing form. They're just abilities that happen in her separate forms.
So she'll change
I think you want to change most turns, but not every turn. It just depends on what cards
you situation. It's a buyer's choice. What do I need this turn? And
It's more you're changing based on the situation than changing just to change.
Like you can play a whole game where you're only in tiny mode or you're only in giant mode, and that seems perfectly viable.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the big distinction between her and Ant-Man. Ant-Man wants to be flipping constantly. He even has the resize card that we spoiled in the hot takes from our last episode. So, okay, this also before we get to that, what is it called? Team up card? The one where...
Swarm Tactics.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think that'll be better for Ant-Man than her then?
Yes.
Okay.
I think she gets more use out of the ready, maybe? Because like it lets you be able to use her hero to spread out some damage and then switch and finish off some guys.
Yeah, but I think her stats are on average worse than Scott's Ant-Man, so I think that card will be better in Ant-Man, but it'll still be good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a one-cost ready.
Yeah.
One-cost ready is still a good card. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so now getting on to the actual cards. So they spoiled three Six. Of her hero cards and then three aggression cards. So she's paired with the aggression. So I'm going to start off by reading the Giant Help. Giant Help is a two-cost event with a mental icon. Notice that works with her alter ego ability that you can shuffle it back into your deck. With a thwart trait and hero action, thwart. Remove three threat from a scheme. Remove a total of four threat divided among schemes as you choose instead if you're in giant hero form. So her whole thing is in giant form is she can really spread out her thwart and damage. So for two, they basically, in giant form, this becomes a one extra cost with one extra thwart of an inconspicuous.
Yeah.
But,
I mean...
That's also
at worst, really good. This is kind of counterintelligence.
Yeah, and if you use this in tiny form and you get rid of a scheme, which in solo you probably will because three threat, you can defeat or deal a damage to the villain. So like either form, you're getting a. If you're doing this in tiny form, you want to do it where you get that bonus of the damage. If you're doing this in giant form, this is just. Gravy, like the divided among schemes is so good if it has more or less than four.
Yeah. Especially with four, it's a big deal. You don't have to worry about doing it efficiently. It's going to be efficient, assuming there's at least four threat on the table.
Yeah.
Okay, well, seems like we're all in agreement there. Carlos, do you want to read Pinpoint Strike?
Sure. Three cost event, attack, hero action. Deals seven damage to an enemy. If you're in tiny form, this attack deals one additional damage to that enemy and gains overkill. That's it. I think it's very basic and good at the same time. Decent card.
Yeah. It shouldn't be hard to be in tiny form to do this. And if you're in tiny form, this is the single best attack. I mean, other than possibly... what's it called?
Thor?
Heroic Strike? No, this is strictly better than Hammer Throw if you're in tiny.
Yeah,
because you have to throw the hammer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like...
And you also get extra damage if you kill that enemy.
Right.
I mean, honestly, even if you're in giant mode and you just do this for seven, that's okay.
Yeah, that's slightly worse than a swinging web kick, but at the same time, you can still attack and spread out your damage. Like... The overkill, I think this is one I'm going to want to always play in tiny form, but I'm not going to be disappointed in giant form.
And I mean, if you kill an enemy with this and you overkill, you're also doing another plus one damage.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, true. That's total nine damage.
Very. I think it's like cards like these that are going to make her want to flip between the forms. I know her abilities don't make me see that, but I think in between. Because if I have a minion in front of me, no matter, like. Outside of like Ronin, this is going to be great. Oh, attacking another enemy and dealing one damage to Ronin in giant form just to get rid of the toughness, and then flipping and pinpoint striking him, and then maybe someone else hitting him. Oh, that's going to be so good.
Well, no, you do the one to the villain.
No, I know, but I'm saying if you are in giant form and you attack.
Oh, yes,
I see. And then you deal one to the toughness, and then on the other side, you deal eight to him, and then someone else just has to finish him off, or someone else plays the thing so you get the overkill.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so far, two great events. Matt, do you want to read Wasp Sting?
Yes, I do. Wasp Sting is a two-cost event. It was part of a spread, so we can't see the resource of it, but it's an attack event. And it's got, well, two options here. Hero action attack. If you're in giant hero form, deal a total of 4 damage divided among enemies as you choose. And if you're in titan form, instead you deal 5 damage to an enemy. So you get some little bit of pro-con for depending on your side. If you're in giant form, you get to do the damage more efficiently. If you're in Ultron, take out 4 drones. But if you go tiny and you just focus all that damage and say like
it becomes a Modok venom blast. Whatever.
Yeah.
In tiny form. Yeah, in tiny form it's literally just a venom blast, and then in giant form, it's like I want to say it's
you
like
you lose the damage to be able to split it up. Yeah.
It reminds me of Ground Stomp, but better. It might not deal as much potential damage as
Ground Stomp. I'd say a weaker Dance of Death, maybe like a lower costed.
Yeah. I mean, it would do. It would technically be weaker than Dance of Death because the first attack can get rid of stun, or something like that. But like just being able to spread out your damage, I feel like people are gonna undervalue that. And same thing with your thwart. I think people are gonna undervalue spreading it out.
And if you don't need to spread your damage out, you switch to tiny mode and you just get some extra efficiency instead.
And if you also kill a minion, deal a damage to the villain.
Yeah. If you can set it up so 4 minions are at 1 health each, and then you play this and kill them all, you deal 4 damage to the villain.
No, you have to be in giant mode to spread it out, and you.
I'm stupid. Okay.
Yeah, you're starting to see where the tactics come in, though. It's like, shrink, switch.
If you could definitely let's say, what are 2 health minions? Like the Hydra regulars or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Claw with the whatchamacallit, I don't remember their names.
Weapons runner.
You have those in play, and you attack in giant form and deal 1 to each, and then you play this, deal 2 of that, 1 to each, and then 2 to the. That doesn't work because of her other ability.
We can theorycraft when we have her whole set.
Yeah. Definitely.
Spreading damage is useful. You're always going to. You're always going to get full efficiency out of this card, or almost always, which is really, really useful.
Yeah, I think Waff's whole thing is going to be about tactical efficiency in general. Uh-huh. She's probably going to be one of the highest skill cap heroes based off of this. Just initially starting to play her, she's going to be pretty high trying to figure this out. But in general, she's so efficient. All of her events are you either get the efficiency or if you don't need the efficiency, just get a bonus. She's so good. But, Ben, moving on to the aggression card, do you want to start with our ally, Thor?
Sure. I guess there's Thor, it's Jane Foster, which is, you can play her in your Thor Odinson deck. She's a 4-cost ally with an energy resource. She's got 1 thwart and 2 attack, each with the consequential damage. She has 4 hit points. She has the Asgardian Avenger trait, which are very good traits to have. And response, after you play Thor from your hand, deal 2 damage to the villain, 3 damage instead if you pay for this card using a physical resource. So she's like Valkyrie.
But worse.
But no, I think it's better.
Really?
She's less situational in Valkyrie because the damage is always good. Damage to the villain is almost always good.
I agree. I think it's yes, it's true that she's less situational than
Valkyrie, but then she has lower upside.
Better. Dealing damage to the villain doesn't set you off.
No, but it helps accomplish your primary victory condition. And I was recently building a Black Panther Rush deck, and I realized there's not nearly as much villain attack as you would think. Most of it is very minion oriented,
attacks we have aren't very great either. I mean, look at Uppercut. That's not a great card. You play this card, you get at least. You get, if you pay it with a physical, you get the 3 damage automatic to the villain. That's always going to hit. You're always going to get 3 damage or 2 damage when you play her from your hand. And then,
you get four attacks.
Right, you get four attacks or three attacks in a block. I mean, the one thwart isn't great, but like it's something in aggression. Like,
nice option to have.
The fact that she'll always, her ability will always go off and then maybe sometimes go off with a kicker is better than Valkyrie in my opinion, because Valkyrie isn't always going to go off. But like, I'm not saying Valkyrie's a bad ally. Valkyrie's amazing. But I think the only thing holding back Thor is her four cost.
I think the other big thing is that she benefits slots more into like the Jarnbjorn decks and physical, like with Dropkick, and that it focuses a lot more in the physical that is already supported. Meanwhile, energy doesn't have much at the moment.
All right, and then, like, yeah, if you play this in Captain America, put this down in Alter Ego for three, like with his ability. Put this down in Alter Ego if you have your serums out. You're gonna get that physical resource anyway, and then she becomes three for the same thing as Valkyrie, except one extra hit point, and then three damage straight to the villain. Like,
I don't think I ever disagree with you guys so much. I hate this card. I think this is just a bad card that unless there's a very specific deck about rushing down, which I don't even think I'm gonna put her in because she's four costed. I don't really see her use. Like, I don't think dealing damage to the villain one turn at one point, it's an ability that is worth it. Like, I don't think this is a card that helps your tempo in any way, except in moments where you already be able to deal with other things. And how are you gonna deal with those other things if you're playing four costs for this card? It's like, take Wasp's ability, like her tiny ability, which deals one damage every time you defeat a minion or a scheme. That's different because that's tempo. That means you're doing something and then you get something extra efficient.
I mean, that's not really tempo. That's the same. It's villain damage, just like
right,
this.
Like, you don't win by defeating minions in side schemes. You win by killing the villain.
You win by stabilizing and then killing the villain. And Thor just...
That's how you currently win on a loss.
We haven't got a scenario, except for maybe Mutagen, that stabilizing really matters that much. Like, I mean, maybe you get this, and if it is, it's with Sky Schemes, not with minions. Minions haven't been, except for maybe Zola and whatever one.
I don't think we've had a villain. Like, there's villains that will come that will punish you setting up that were like they get stronger over time, and then
and like this gets around.
Using a whole hand for an ally is setting up. That's my issue. Like, if she be cheaper, then I will get your guys' arguments. But she's way too expensive for doing something.
I mean, whole hand, you do five damage.
But there's ways to make her cheaper too, though. I mean, like,
it's not like
we're lacking resources in the game or resources to make stuff cheaper. Like, I mean, take for example, you're playing a four-player game. Someone's bound to have a helicarrier or a mansion out to support you.
And you can say, like, look at Daredevil. When Daredevil comes down, he's going to do like two thwart and one damage. Thor here will do five damage total when she comes down that turn. All allies are inherently an investment. You're not going to get the value on that turn, but people still play Daredevil.
Plus, like, yeah. I mean, like, how many...
Daredevil is my argument. Like, it's the contrary to Thor. Like, you play Daredevil, and you do some scheming, you do some thwarting. Not only are you able to counteract what the encounter deck is doing against you, but you're able to do it on more turns and you're fighting back. This card, why would I play this over Sentry? Why is this a more efficient card?
Because you don't get an encounter card?
Right. Yeah. Like, also, keep in mind, this isn't a hero response either. You can damage the villain in Alter Ego, and you can get around Retaliate and Stun by just paying for a card with an ally, which allies are already good in this game anyway. And then now you're using your ally you can use her for attack or thwart, and then you can block with her and save yourself taking damage. Like, allies are already good, and now that's an ally that has damage that gets around Retaliate and Stun, and also you can do it in Alter Ego form to the villain, is amazing.
Like, if this were cheaper, I would understand your guys' argument. But at four cost, this is not. Like, at four cost, I want either long-term efficiency, which I think other cards do better than being faster than Thor, or I want an impact that justifies doing it in that.
I don't think four cost is really that much different than three cost, honestly.
Yeah,
it's still practically your whole turn.
Like, I think the biggest jumps are from 2 to 3 cost and 4 to 5, not 3 to 4. And all at the same time, like, there's, again, we have ways to make it cheaper. I mean, I've never felt like there's some heroes that I feel like are resource starved, but those heroes don't want her. The heroes that want, like, Captain Marvel has the 3 resource, Black Panther has the 2 or the 3 vibraniums, like, and Spider-Man has drawing cards, like, every, and Thor drawing cards, Doctor Strange draws cards, like, even in Spider-Woman, like,
I think we should move on now.
I'm still in disagreement, and I just think that she doesn't justify. Well, we'll speak of this after she comes out and we play.
Yeah,
her.
I think once we play her a little bit, maybe our opinions will change. But I have this next card with, honestly, probably my favorite art in the game so far. Lion Wait is a 1 cost upgrade with an energy icon. It's a preparation. Thank you, Black Widow. Max 1 per player. With the hero response, attack. After a minion engages you, discard Lion Wait, deal 3 damage to that minion. Okay, this card's great, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, Black Widow loves this. Black Widow can make this 1 for 4 to a minion that when it engages you.
Yeah. Like, I think, yeah, this is great in Black Widow. I think it's situationally good. I don't think you just throw it into any.
I mean, it's reasonably efficient. And, like, if you have a weakness for minions, like, I'd say Spider-Man or maybe Captain Marvel.
It's reasonably efficient. That's what I'm saying. It's not mind-blowing, and it is situational.
Oh, it's not mind-blowing, but 2 for 3 is really solid.
Yeah, especially, like,
I think this really synergizes much better than counterattack in Black Widow, because Black Widow doesn't want to take attacks. This helps her, because her game plan is control the board, keep paying damage, and this will just stop most minions.
I think this card single-handedly enables Black Widow aggression, which was lacking something at this point. And it's just amazing in Black Widow, and then a great toolkit card for, like you said, heroes that can't deal with too much.
It's great in Thor, because it makes Defender of the Nine Realms a lot less risky.
Yeah, and because it's an upgrade, I believe this would also trigger Battle Fury. Don't quote me on that. I haven't played it in a while. But because it's an upgrade and not a support, I believe it should trigger Battle Fury. So, like, if you kill the minion,
depends
you get to.
The definition of you is.
I think so.
Right, because, well, the reason why I say that is because you, or for Wasp, it says Wasp or an event you play, which would be make it Wasp and events.
I mean, that doesn't say you.
I know, but I'm saying Wasp is defined to Wasp and events, and so you should, in based off of that, I'm saying it probably means upgrades too, because, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, or else they would say you from Wasp.
But, so that, I mean, like. Just
I think
in general,
this is really,
like,
good in Wasp too, because it makes it easy to set up a minion that you can just finish off.
Right. And, like, also in, like, because we've been seeing a lot of minions that come out as boosts. The Weapons Runner, almost all of them minions from Mutagen. Like, just a way to just put some damage on them. Even Ronin, getting rid of his tough, just, like, when he enters, makes him easier to manage, assuming you're not playing 4-player. If you're playing 4-player, then there's no point. Just let him sit there.
Honestly, I'm not sure about using this on Ronin.
If you're in solo, I think it's fine. If you're not, then I don't see a point to doing it. But, like, this doesn't get it around Retaliate. Never mind. Hit Modok.
Just going to put that art. Like, that's an amazing piece of art. It is. So, I will argue it's the best art in the game.
I have my question right now would. And I feel like I know the answer to it, but I'm not sure. Is if the minion has quick strike, do they still attack before you damage them?
Ooh. Really? Yeah,
it's a forced response. Quick strike, like, it's not optional. Non-optional stuff happens before optional responses.
I think that's correct.
Thing would be.
Because I know Widow's thing doesn't stop the Black Widow's. Upgrade doesn't stop quick strike.
This would only work if it was when a minion engages you, not after, I think. because that would happen technically before.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah,
because it's after, I would say they still attack you. But even then, you're still killing them quicker.
Yeah. Some appreciation. We're already getting another preparation, which is really nice. And this one feels so thematic. Like, it's an ambush. It's just ambush a minion that comes out. That feels so fitting.
Speaking of ambushes, Carlos, do you want to read surprise attack?
Did you say Carlos?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I do want to read this card. One cost of damage because it's just pandering to me with this great one cost event. So surprise attack, an attack. Hero respawns. After you change form, deal 3 damage to an enemy, 4 damage instead if you pay for this card using a physical resource. This card is great. It doesn't go into every hero, but it is amazing in the hero that it goes well with. Like, this is an amazing card for the ant heroes because they're always going to be changing forms. So it's basically a non-cost in them. This is an amazing card in Ms. Marvel. You always want to be changing form. Yes, you don't have that flexibility that you can change into a form that can still use this card always, like you can do with the ant heroes. But still, you can flip forms for 3 cards. You can deal 6 damage. You can deal maybe 7 damage with 8 damage with this. This card, and it's competing with toe to toe for my most loved.
This is like, I don't, like, toe to toe. The villain's not going to be attacking you, so you can. Yeah. It's basically, if you have the physical and she can get physical very easily with her suit, you're just okay. We'll do 2 damage for every resource spent and.
Yeah, and the whatever that card is.
I want
card
to say something about Ms. Marvel, because if you use Nakia and then flip, you can't pay a physical for it, so you're doing 3 damage.
Right, but if you use your biokinetic suit,
which is funny.
But the martial prowess card that was in the Hulk deck. You change form, just exhaust that. If you have enough attacks, like, now we're seeing a bunch more. This is a card that I was looking for like hero. I mean, heroes like Ant-Man and Wasp love this because, you know, changing form doesn't mean from changing from alter ego. It just means changing form. And like, even like She-Hulk, who wants to flip back for that 6 hand size, loves this. Like, I would argue, once you get Golden City down, this is amazing for Black Panther. Like,
no, I don't think this is good for Black Panther.
Well, I'm saying after you get Golden City down.
If I'm playing Black Panther, I'd rather have like stuff to use my very brainy moment on, or just playing Wakanda Forever.
Right.
Like,
I think it's good in Black Widow because she likes to flip. It's good in some.
Maybe Captain Marvel. Depending on Captain Marvel.
I think the only thing is, unless I'm playing the ant heroes, I don't think this will ever be a 3 of, just because of how, like, if you draw it in hero form, then it's pretty, unless you're the ant heroes, it's pretty bad.
Play Ms. Marvel and then stick them under Bruno and then just be like, ha-ha.
Assuming you've played Bruno.
I think it would definitely depend if we get more. I mean, the language of this gives me hope that we'll get more heroes that change form, like Ant-Man and Wasp eventually.
Yeah, maybe not 3. I wonder. So, like, it just says change form, right?
Yeah.
So, if we have a hero that, like, form, I don't know if form is defined here. After you change form, that doesn't mean your hero has to change form. So, if we have, like, an upgrade or something that changes, that goes through, like, stages, like, I don't know. If there's, like.
I don't think it would count. I think it'd be.
Yeah, I can't see that.
I mean, I wouldn't say it would be a change form like this, but instead, like, maybe if you had, like, multiple versions of a hero, like, where you swap between, like a shapeshifter or something, like a changeling, Hulkling.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, I don't know if they ever do, like, maybe, and this might make sense with what Sam's trying to say, if they ever make, like, an upgrade that literally changes your hero, like a Hulkbuster armor. Upgrade.
Yeah, I don't think that's. But yeah, this could be a narrow part of the card pool.
Yeah. I feel like the only way that would work is if the card itself were the card itself referred to itself as a changing its form. That would be like, so if a card ever refers to itself as changing form, this would work because it's not limited to your hero.
I'm sure that happens.
To Iron Man, he changes form to Hulkbuster, and it has different rules.
Saying that's gonna happen, but I'm just saying keep an eye out for the words change form.
It's mainly we use this for the these two that change forms, and then maybe Miss Marvel for the near future. Hopefully we get Hank Pym and Janet eventually and any others who switch around.
Especially with like having him biggin' down and like you flip into Miss Marvel, you pay this, you get 6 damage for 2 cards, and then you return it to your hand and play it because it's on the same response, and then just get 4 more damage. So for 3 cards total, you got 12 damage.
That's real good.
Assuming you paid physical both times, like that's amazing.
I just thought of a hero could work for like if you Quasar. He has these called the Nega Bands, I believe, and it lets him swap places. So he did that with Rick Jones, and it's happened with a few other heroes where they swap places using these Nega Bands into I think the Negative Zone maybe. So then that they could just completely swap your hero. That would be something that happened.
No,
something I don't know. Like I'm surprised. Basically. Not just a year into the game, less than a year, because we had that big COVID pushback update. This already, they're pushing boundaries of how a hero's like identity is defined with the ad heroes, and they're basically it's like they have 3 forms instead of 2. We don't know if we eventually get heroes that, you know, I always come back to the X-Men, but there's arguments to be made that you can have heroes that have multiple alter ego forms, or have special rules in Alter Ego that let you use an attack or something like that. And like the possibilities are endless, and they are pushing the sign with on the scenario side with Ronan with Ken. You already seen a lot of abilities that are really like pushing the rules of the game. So I wouldn't put it, I'm forgetting my English today. Like I cannot speak English.
Put it past
today.
Them.
Sorry.
To do something crazy.
Yeah.
Also, saying, like,
it'll push the envelope a lot more than we think and quicker after like, they feel.
I mean, like they broke the scenario format, the second scenario pack with the Wrecking Crew. Like, also, just to wrap this all up, just because we're pushing 40 minutes at this point, my dad pointed this out to me. It says, look for the Wasp Hero Pack to release this November. So, we have no idea when this stuff's releasing now, right?
Yeah.
Because unless they're doing a double up in November with her and Ant-Man, which they could do, but like we don't have confirmation, so don't quote us on that. But like, I don't think FFG knows when anything's releasing anymore.
Right.
But that is all we have.
As long as Alien releases on October, I don't care about any perspective on this one.
Right. But that is all we have time for this episode. So be sure to check out our social media. We have Facebook, Discord, and Patreon, where we post updates and connect with you, the listeners. We also have a YouTube channel with gameplay videos. I'm going to be posting some solo Red Skull campaign videos up soon. Make sure to subscribe and like to keep up to date on the latest from Dexcelsior. Links to all these are found in the description. Thanks for listening, and Carlos, take us home.
Dexcelsior, onwards and upwards.